Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
You don't put those inside of you, do you?
This is a show about women.
I mean, you do?
Yes. Finally, a show about women that isn't just a thinly veiled aspirational nightmare. It's not hosted, not narrated. We're just dropping into a woman's world.
I found out when my dad was gay when I was 10. We were in a convertible on the 405 freeway, listening to the B-52s. And looking back, I should have said, this is gay. This is already all gay.
Listen to Finally a Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so let's talk about some stuff going on now. Let's talk about, I want, first of all, to everyone, Nene and I had a great time, and I've been talking to her about doing something for so long. Mm. I think you just are a great speaker. I just think you're wildly entertaining, as I've said.
Thank you.
So I thought, I was in LA, I wanted her to come to this dinner, that we should sit down and just talk and go over a bunch of things and work together. Like, yeah. I think just our different perspectives. Mm-hmm. Is something we've wanted to do, so this is the easiest vehicle. So here we are. So I appreciate you coming in, and
well,
I appreciate
you for having me.
Oh, thank you. So what do you think about the Jada Pinkett Will Smith thing? Not just the thing, but she's coming out with it. She has a book now. She sent me the book, signed it to me. I you know how you sort of know people in entertainment, but you don't really know them. Like they know of you. They think they know you.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So she sent me a book, and I've been on Red Table Talk, and I had a certain opinion the night of the slap and the weeks after, and then now she's come out and she's speaking about it, saying that they've been separated, and she's recanting the night, and it's obviously a great way to push a book. So she's doing the tour. What do you make of the original incident and then all that's happening now?
The original incident, meaning the slap?
Yes.
You know, like everyone else, I was watching that night, and I was shocked. Probably like many people, I thought it was a skit or something at first. And then when everybody, on his way back, everybody was looking like something happened. And you know, but in the beginning, I thought it was just a part of what they were doing. It was shocking. It felt like it was unlike his character to do something like that. But again, we do not know these people. Right. We are watching them from the outside.
Right.
So we don't know who they really are as people. And so I just, it was shocking. We are judged a whole lot harder than you guys.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's just true. As in, back to Kim Kardashian, I think she rolled out, her name got bigger from a sex tape. When black girls have sex tapes, they are crucified.
Interesting.
And they are dragged like for dear life. And Kim was able to turn her sex tape into money. Black girls don't. That's just not the same.
Wow.
We don't get judged. We get judged very differently.
Who's judging you? Everyone? Your
I mean,
own
the
community?
Public.
I know.
I feel like the public.
By and large, it's a totally different standard.
Yeah, it is.
Interesting.
I just feel like we're held to a different standard.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody who's gotten famous like that or other people in Hollywood that have had sex tapes.
It's almost like it, I mean, I'm sure in some cases. I mean, I'm sorry. I was about to start.
Laughing now you have to
about what? It could almost be like a white woman is drunk and everybody thinks that it's, you know, like she's drunk, get her in the car. And a black girl is drunk and I feel like they're looking like, look at this fool over here drunk.
Oh, it's not cute. It's cute yeah, it's when just, it's a white girl.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know that it's cute. No, I just think we're just held to a different standard. I
interesting. The sex tape, though, is an interesting discussion. That's funny. Okay, so mm-hmm. I wouldn't have thought of that. I mean, I haven't thought of that. I'm trying to think of sex tapes.
Do you know a lot of them?
I don't. I didn't see any. I didn't see Pamela. I maybe saw Pamela and Tommy. I don't know. I always feel like I'm invading their privacy. I haven't seen any of the sex tapes.
No, I have not. I heard that Kim's was pretty good, though, I think.
Really?
I think people like it.
Yeah, well.
I've not seen it. Well, I don't usually like to watch stuff like that.
But
it's not
also,
my thing.
Kim's no more defined by a sex tape than you are by the first mm-hmm. day you said bloop. It was 15 mm-hmm. years ago. Like,
yeah.
Don't you feel like people are still discussing who you were 15 years ago today?
Do you think that they are?
Don't you think people still are
I do think that people still say things from years ago.
You know? I don't even mean
we're talking about New Normal and Glee. That was years ago. So I do think that people still kind of, you know, yeah, reflect back sometimes.
Yeah.
We've all come so far from 10, 15 years ago. We've come so far.
No, that's what I mean. If you said something 15 years ago, it's being thrown up to you now, the same way that people are saying that Kim's successful now because she had a sex tape. I think she's successful now because she worked. They've worked.
Yeah,
worked
no,
their
I don't
off.
Think that's what they say. I think they say that she launched her career off of the backs of a sex tape.
They do, but people now I see in comments,
she's a businesswoman now.
Some, but a lot of people, like snarky women, judgmental women, want to just make it like she wouldn't be where she was. Same thing as Bravo. She wouldn't be where she was if she didn't have a sex tape, or say to me, you would be nowhere without Bravo. Like, it's 15 years ago. We've done a lot since then.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're not resting on just that one thing.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so about the Jada and Will thing.
Yes.
What about now? What about her talking about it? What do you think about them being separated? What is your opinion of the whole topic?
So I haven't followed every single thing. And I want to say this. I am non-biased. I don't know Jada. I don't know Will. I didn't watch the Red Table Talk or anything. Mm-hmm. So when I look at the clips that I see, and I'm only getting a little bit of what Jada's talking about, I've not read her book. Mm-hmm. I feel like watching social media, everybody is pitting her as a villain. Okay.
I agree.
And when I hear the little things that she's saying, and I look at her and I think about her being a woman, and I'm a woman. It has nothing to do with color. We are women, okay, right?
Yes.
We all feel the same. I look at her and I think, she's right. And I'm not saying she's right because she's a woman. I'm saying I feel like Will did something to her years ago that changed their relationship.
Fascinating.
And she is like, I've been sitting here all these years. I covered for you. I didn't say anything, and I'm going to say something now. It's something he did. Now, people do not know Will. I feel like they love him as an actor, right? And so they're just basing all this off of, he's this great actor, and I'm a fan of his.
Well,
and
his
can't see him that way. And I thought about myself, and I was saying this to a friend of mine, my husband Greg. Everybody loved Greg. Everybody. And it's no way possible I could sit in a room of people and say, Greg cheated this number of times. He did this or he did that. I think that people all would look and say, Nene is the villain.
Of course.
And it was Nene's fault.
Of course.
They would never in a million years say, it was Greg, and she's a woman, and he hurt her, and da-da-da. I would be the villain. And I think that they're just making her the villain right now. And I think that he's done a lot of things. He's a big star. And I think he's done a lot of things, and it probably hurt her. Now, not probably, I'm sure it hurt her. And I think that people knew that they weren't together. I think it kind of looked like they weren't together.
First of all, I love what you just said about mm-hmm. you and Greg, because also having been on reality television, mm-hmm. you're the one set up to be the clown.
Yes.
You have a mm-hmm. great day. Yay. It yeah. went well. You look gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Then you look like shit. Everyone hates you. We've yeah. talked about that. Mm-hmm. He's not there for that. He's there to be, oh, yay, Greg's there. Like yes. Maurice. Oh, yay, the yes. supportive, amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, and yes, there were rumors mm-hmm. about Maurice. That's a separate conversation. But mm-hmm. you're the crazy woman.
Yes,
oh,
I
she's
am.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
Yes,
likewise.
And I will be the villain, and I'm the mean one, and it's my fault. Everything happened because it was me. No one in the world would even think for a second that Greg had done anything to me. And you know the thing I used to say to people when I would talk about my husband, and my husband is a great man. He's not a perfect man, but he's a great man. And I would say to people that Greg is a man. I mean, do you think he is not a man and not doing some of the things that men do? Do you think he is just sitting over here meditating every day?
Because people like to fantasize about other people's relationships, either that they're terrible or that they're perfect.
Yeah.
And it's a very hard standard.
Yeah. And usually in a relationship, Bethany, one person is usually the villain in the public
100%.
Side. One person is the villain and the other person is, you know, probably the more nicer, calmer person. I'm a little bit more outspoken. That is not to say that Greg is not. Greg is very outspoken. He just speaks out differently than I do. And so I'm always the, you know, the bad guy. And
well, first of all, I want to get to the fact that it cannot be easy to also, you're not bringing any of that up when your husband has cancer, because then people are going to think you're really the villain. If you like, you're allowed to have normal feelings. You're allowed to have not resentment, but many people who are caring for someone else, it gets exhausting and you can't tell anybody because you'll be a layered villain. So
you would be.
You can't tell everybody, well, guys, my relationship isn't perfect. You just have to be quiet.
Yeah.
So I want to get into that, but you reminded me, wait a second, you just reminded me of something you said about the villain, about, oh, many men, I'm saying this really about men, many men are super charming and salesmen to other people on the outside, and then they have a really nasty streak at home.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that was Greg, but I'm saying I've had that very, where it's publicly, everybody thinks that this person, oh, hey, Dan, how's your golf game? Yeah. Oh, hey, like super animated.
They have no idea.
Then at home saying you're a piece of shit to me.
It's true. So in Jada, in Will's case, I just believe, and I think Will is not saying much because I think he knows, like, yeah, Jada is right. Yeah, I want to tell you, too, that they've been separated, she said, I think, for 7 years, right? And he has his house and she has her house, but divorce is not an option. Now, so I don't know why divorce is not an option.
Money.
I still don't care. Listen, my happiness is the option. So,
but they've kind of been divorced, is what they're saying. They made a business deal decision. So
we're just divorced and we're just legally married, but you see other people, but you're not out publicly with other people, right? So that sounds like
it. Oh, no, I know.
They still did red carpets together.
Like, you know what I mean? That's your ride or die. That's your person. Okay. That's your life partner. Mm-hmm. But you do what you want. I think one of the big conversations, and I still want to say what I think
about having that kind of relationship.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, so as we get older, I feel like women, but it gets more non-traditional as we get older. Like, you realize there are more options. I was with a group of 25 women the other night at an event, and they were all young girls, like all between 25 and like 32, let's say. And they all were saying how rough it is out there. And they were really fantasizing my relationship. Like, oh, when are you going to walk down the aisle? You're planning the wedding. And it's not that I think you've met Paul. I love Paul. I'm 52. It's like weird to be planning a wedding and like the big, it just feels strange. And also then there's signing a legal document to the point of what you're saying. But the 20 somethings are being marketed the fairy tale, and they don't realize when you get older and you have a husband who may have stepped out, you have a husband who may have cancer, you're going through menopause, like you've got your kid, you've got problems with your kid, I've got stuff I'm dealing with, it's not like we're just being swept away into a fairy tale and all we have to worry about is, honey, what am I going to make you tonight in my apron? It's like you get more modern and you kind of choose your own relationship and how to make it work for you with travel, with work, with kids. It's just different. And the younger generation is still being marketed the bullshit of the fairy tale. So I think, to your point, I think there's a lot that we don't know, obviously.
Right.
I like Jada. I think Jada, not unlike a Meghan Markle or years ago an Anne Hathaway, sometimes when women are very evolved and they speak in a certain way, people find it to be a little pretentious. Like when Jada was on Kelly and Mark, she said, Will and I were both in therapeutic spaces. And then she started talking about the work they were each doing. We were doing deep work.
Right.
The average American who's just trying to get their kids to school and has no money for anything doesn't understand therapeutic space and deep work. Like they don't have, that's a luxury. So I think she sounds, you know, and Table Talk was very about like, let's talk about our feelings, and they were very free. Like, it's just a therapy speech that I don't think America's digesting. And that's why I think, even though I agree with you, she becomes the villain, I think it's even layered because she's so emotionally intelligent and evolved and is sort of preaching this, like, you know, this like therapy to people. I just don't think it's hitting. It's not like relatable.
It's definitely not hitting that. That's for sure, because they are dragging her, honey.
And I agree with you, and I agree with a lot of what she's saying, to be honest. She said, we walked into the Oscars. I thought it was a bit. She said, we walked in, and I was just his date. And we walked out, and I was his wife again, because they were going to go through it together. Like, they became partners, and that wasn't the time to be like, we've been separate. So I'm buying it. I just think it's the package it's in that's not landing.
Yeah. Something about it isn't, because she's getting dragged badly right now. Everybody feels it's her fault. And Will's not saying anything. He says his notifications are off.
Right. And I think everybody plays 50. They have to. Well, I don't know if everybody plays 50%. I don't know why I just said that. But they're both at the table. And there's a reason why he felt like he would go on Red Table Talk and be emasculated when she talked about, they talked about her having an affair with another guy. They talked about it like it was an open discussion at this table talk, and it was awkward.
Yeah, I remember when she did the table talk and they talked about her having an affair. They didn't talk about him having an affair, though.
Right.
Her having an affair.
Right. But he's sitting at the table, like, hashing this out. And now he's being punished for something, as to your point, because right now he's got to listen to her hash and rehash again with the promotion of the book.
Well, I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, Camille and Kelsey, you thought, she's brand new on a show, and she's married to Kelsey Grammer. He comes on the show. He looks like it's painful for him. You're wondering, is this like they made some sort of a deal, and that's why he let her do the show, and he agreed to go to the Emmys, and then they broke up? Like, there are all these dynamics that happen when you're watching the man, and you're like, he doesn't want to be there.
Do you think Will has a girlfriend? Do you think? Is that it? But wait, when she talks about they're going through this therapeutic thing, I think she's saying that they're getting back together, isn't she?
No, she's saying as like a family dynamic, and you've heard her kids on and her mother, everybody speaks in this type of like very evolved, spiritual, you know, Eastern medicine type, like, you know, just my girlfriend. I don't say to my girlfriends, I'm doing some very deep work right now, and I'm in a therapeutic space. They'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I do see.
I love that, though.
I do talk to.
It sounds like a movie or something.
Right. I mean, I talk to a therapist, and I'm like, we're doing, Paul and I are doing some very deep work right now. It's not relatable. I mean, you know, people are like, what do you mean? I'm eating ramen. I can't afford my, you know.
Some very deep work.
Yes. It's just, so I think that as a family dynamic for years, they've talked to people, and they have this dynamic that is an arrangement that works for the whole group, and it's required therapy. And I do think in many cases, there are other people in this whole housewives sphere that I think may stay together because of money. Divorces are very expensive, and there are a lot of logistics. And
I would never.
I need to be. The minute I know I don't want to be somewhere, I don't want to be somewhere.
I cannot do it. Same. I would take my wig off and sling it, honey. I cannot do it.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff, and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
You don't put those inside of you, do you?
This is a show about women.
I mean, you do?
Yes.
Finally, a show about women that isn't just a thinly veiled aspirational nightmare. It's not hosted, not narrated. We're just dropping into a woman's world.
I found out when my dad was gay when I was 10. We were in a convertible on the 405 freeway listening to the B-52s. Looking back, I should have said, this is gay. This is already all gay.
Listen to Finally a Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.